Let me begin by saying that I am glad to be here today and glad that you are here. I know that from the singing of the songs that we have sung, it sounds like we have sung a series of songs of invitation, but if you look at the title and remember the songs, each of them have something to do with the judgment. And we're going to talk about that this morning. This evening, Lord willing, I will preach about the Christian's stand, and I decided to do them in this particular order because what we'll talk about tonight has a direct impact on what we talked about this morning. So in our text, in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, we see a passage that is familiar to many of us, oftentimes used relative to the repentance that must take place in the life of one who is being obedient or one who has become disobedient and is returning to God. But it says there in verse 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then it tells us why. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. There are many, many different things taught in the scriptures, and oftentimes classes are taught and scriptures pulled from various places to show the thought process that is going on in the particular verse being studied. But nothing is more clearly and abundantly taught in the sacred scriptures than the fact of the coming judgment day. It is incredible to me that some people have said, well, I'm not really quite sure if there's going to be a judgment day. Well, the Bible says there is, therefore there is. We do not know when it is, and we're going to talk about it this morning. But in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12 is one place where Israel was told to prepare to meet God, and it would possibly have multiple meanings, but it definitely would have impact upon this judgment. Because Israel, as the people of God, having been given a law from God, were required to follow that law, and if they didn't follow the law, they will stand for it in the judgment. It says there in Amos 4 and 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And we say, well, that applied to them. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, clearly written during the New Testament age, written to New Testament people, Christians, those who had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. They also were to be aware of the fact that this life is going to end. We are made very much aware of it as we have acquaintances that have and are passing from this life. But after that, there's something of utmost importance. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We also go back to the time of Christ in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 34. And if you have a bookmarker, you might want to stick a marker there in your Bible, because we're going to refer to this on several occasions for several different things. It tells us there, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning, when God put man and woman, created them and put them into the garden and gave them a law to follow, from that point forward, there was a need for a place for one of two types of people. When it's all said and done, we're going to be in one place or the other. He prepared a place for those who are righteous, those who are willing to serve him, those who are diligent in their love and devotion to him, in following his word. Also, there's going to be a place prepared for those who do not. In verse 41, we see this. Those who are on the left hand. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then we see the summation of it in verse 46. We won't read the entire passage from verse 31 on, but verse 46 says, "And these," speaking of those disobedient and those unfaithful, "these shall go in away into everlasting punishment, but the life, righteous unto life eternal." And there are many that live as though the judgment is not coming or is not going to happen. Perhaps as we look into the scriptures this morning, it will help us to reflect more seriously upon this important subject and upon this event in which each and every one of us will have a part in. First, we must establish who will be the judge. The short answer is, of course, we know that Jesus is. But how do we show that? We go back to the Word of God. Again, back to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 32. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." And then it tells what's going to take place or what's going to occur. "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as the shepherd divided from the goats." Oftentimes people say, "With God is my judge." I've heard that time and time again. People say, "With God is my judge." They might as well say, "Well, I swear," or "I guarantee," or something like that, because God is not going to judge us. And we see this in John chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus Himself told them, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And there's a time and there's going to be a place for this to take place. And we know that the early preachers and teachers of the New Testament also taught this thing. In Acts chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we see that it is Jesus Christ who will be ordained, or is ordained, to be the judge at that time. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." These people who witnessed the resurrection of Christ, or were there shortly afterwards, who sat down and ate with him, who spent time with him before he ascended back to the Father, some of whom who were standing there looking as he rose in the air to go back to the Father, having completed the earthly stage, his portion of it, in giving himself as that great sacrifice on Calvary's cross. They were to teach that Jesus Christ is to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, as we've already seen in our text, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." He set this responsibility aside for our Lord, "whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he was raised him from the dead." And he will judge us with a righteous judgment. We see in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he will use his words as a standard of judgment. Oftentimes, I think when people go to court these days, they're a little bit concerned because they're not sure which standard is going to be used. Laws change from state to state. Perhaps from generation to generation, things change the way people look at things. In fact, there are laws on some books that are considered obsolete, that if enforced, they would have to take the whole town and lock them up. But it's not so with Jesus' judgment, or the standard of judgment which he will use. He will use that which will never change, that which was delivered and given to man, his words. He said in John 12, 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." We say, yeah, we know Jesus is going to judge us. And then he says, no, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So there's not going to be a double standard. Everybody's going to be judged by the same word. And therefore, everybody has the same responsibility. As we look toward Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, we're going to see a couple of books being opened. This is, of course, prophetic language. But the meaning and the intent is still there. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. In other words, the things that Jesus had said, the word that he has given to us, the word that he had delivered as he promised to his disciples through the Spirit, which is now recorded for us, is going to be there at the judgment. He said, well, how can that be? He said, you know, when the earth and the works therein shall be burned up, all the Bibles are going to burn up. Well, Jesus himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is there in heaven. It is already bound in heaven. It was passed down to the apostles for them to pass it down to others. And it's going to be there for us to be judged by. And also, if our name's not in the book of life, we have some real trouble. Which brings us to the question, who will be judged? And we say, well, everybody. Well, is that so? We know for a fact, according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33, all nations. I had a question years ago. I still have a question. I'm not certain about it. But I went to my father-in-law and I said, I got a question about this judgment thing. He said, okay, son, what's your question? I said, these people that died years ago that have been relegated to a waiting place, likened to that with which they will spend eternity, will they come out of there, and will, when they are standing before the judgment bar, will they have a reprieve from the punishment or the pain and the suffering? It seems a little unfair that if they are relegated for eternity in condemnation, that they have a reprieve. And his way of telling me that he didn't know the answer either. He said, well, I suppose they'll get fireproof breeches for the judgment. And then he did tell me, in all seriousness, we're not given the answers to those kind of things. But we do know what the Bible teaches us. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33, all nations. And we've already read it once, we'll read it again. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And it goes on to say, shall separate them one from another, as shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And people say, aha, all nations. Well, we find out that by the time that the gospel had been preached to Cornelius, that it had then gone to all nations. At that time, there were only two nations, really. There were Jews and Gentiles. And it covered everybody. Somebody might say, well, the world. What about our text? We read in our text that the world and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day, listen, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Well, we then need to go back into the Word of God to answer the question, which is still not answered. Who is it that will be judged? Well, in accordance to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it's the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead. We know that that particular passage written to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his kingdom, and his appearing in his kingdom, was followed up by, with preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to understand that the reason that he was to preach the word, the reason that he was to be diligent, is because one day Jesus Christ is going to judge the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead. But we also need to be aware of the fact that when Jesus comes back, there will be folks living. And there will be folks dead. There will be folks living in the world, and there will be dead folks. There will be folks who are alive that are part of the church, and there will be dead folks. So we still don't have the answer to our question. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 13. That particular passage tells us, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. Again, we find that every man will be judged. Every person will be judged according to their works. And then we have other passages that indicate that everyone will be there. Passages such as Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. As the Apostle Paul then says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I'm still not certain as to whether or not those who are in the Hadean realm, relegated to the place of eternal punishment, are going to stand at the judgment bar. I'm sure that there are those who would argue the point one way or the other, but they would have to prove it to me. We have an ongoing discussion at our house as to how it's going to be, and there are certain things relative to the judgment that we do not know. But there are some things that we do know. It is certain that the church will be judged. Again, back to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33. We've already seen that the righteous will be separated from the wicked at the judgment. I want to ask you a question. Who are the righteous? Everybody's going to say, that's the church. Well, who are the wicked? It's quite possible that this is talking about the wicked that are in the church. Oh, don't say it, preacher. There can't be wicked in the church. Yes, there can. He's going to take out of the kingdom everything that offends. Is it just the church or all the world? Now, it's a subject for discussion. It's a subject for debate. It's a subject for contemplation. But know this. If you're not a part of the church, and you're not going to be judged, if that is the case, you're lost anyway. What does it matter? If you are a member of the church, you are going to be judged, and so we ought to live accordingly. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, we already read, but we see the terms with which the faithful and the righteous are identified, and where each of these groups go. And these, the unfaithful and the disobedient, shall go away into everlasting punishment. I suspect if I were to ask for a show of hands of how many people that wanted to be in that group, nobody here would raise their hand. However, if we continue to read, but the righteous into life eternal, I suspect that every hand would shoot up. So we know then that souls will be represented at the gospel. The Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 had the Apostle Paul include himself among those who would appear at the judgment. He said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And people say, aha, all must appear. "That everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he has done, whether it be good or bad." To whom was this written? Written to the church. And then we see in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 where judgment is to begin. We see the Spirit, the same Spirit that directed Paul to write to the Corinthians, directed Peter in this general epistle, address this judgment question. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." It is a fact, a cold, hard fact, that every member of the body of Christ, whether faithful or unfaithful, will be at the judgment. And then he goes on to ask another question. "And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" They're going to be lost whether they're judged or not on that last day. And so who will be judged? There still may be a little question there. But know that if you are a member of the body of Christ, you will be judged. Number three, for what will men be judged? People walk around this world today thinking, you know what, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't bother anybody. I help my neighbor when he needs it. I do this, I do that. You know, I've not broken any major laws. And so when the time comes, the Lord's going to say to me, come on in. We've got to be aware of the fact that there are some specifics relative to judgment that we've been told in the Word. One of the first things I want to point out is that which exists in everybody's life and many people don't want to admit it, and that's secret things. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, we see the conclusion of the whole matter as the Spirit directed the writer there to give us that conclusion. We know that it says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And it tells us, following that in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The long and short of it, friends, we cannot hide anything from God. Jesus Himself alluded to that in Mark chapter 4 and verse 22. As He was here on the earth, knowing full well the conclusion of the matter, coming to serve His Father, to do His Father's will, to set an example before us, even to the point of giving Himself so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, for there is nothing hid which cannot be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Everything that should have been made known when the Lord came and was here on the earth was made known. Everything that will be need to be made known, or everything that we have done, will be made known there in the judgment. I think it's interesting that I picked up a tract here not too long ago in a men's restroom just to see what was on it. And on the back of it, it had depicted a little cartoon scene where a screen was up there in heaven, and you're standing there before the judgment, and it's interesting that they showed the little knees on the fellow shaking, the little squiggly lines on either side of his legs. I assume that's what that meant. But everything that he had done was shown up there on the screen. I suspect it won't be that way. There won't be any projectors in heaven. But God knows everything we've done, and we know everything we've done. And those things will be held against us if we don't take care of them properly. But there's a time when they will be judged. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, God's doing us a great big favor by giving us time to undo, if possible, these secret things, or to repent of these secret things, or to make sure we do away with these secret things. For what will men be judged? Our words, as we've already alluded to. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, I think that we need to adhere to the idea that we should be slow to wrath, but we should listen more. We should listen before we talk. I am often accused, and rightfully so, of interrupting people. Because they'll have a thought, and they'll be going on with that thought, and I'll jump right in. Part of my nature. Just hold up a finger and say, I wasn't finished yet. I'll shut up for a minute. But words are important. We've got to use our words properly. And know that the Bible teaches us that those things that come out of our mouth are those things that are in our mind. And if we hold back, perhaps we won't speak so many idle words. Thirdly, we'll see that for what will be judged, deeds done in the body. As we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we see that the Apostle Paul wrote, is directed to those brethren, therefore we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And I tell you, that passage, albeit true, is not necessary. Now, it's there, and from that standpoint it's necessary, but we should understand, we should all clearly understand that every sin that we do is in this body. You cannot sin outside of the body. Once you're dead, there's no more sin, there's no more work, there's no more anything relative to this earth. But the deeds done in this body will be the things that we are judged for. Again, in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, we see the Apostle Paul writing, as directed by the Spirit to that group of brethren. He says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, listen, who will render to every man according to his deeds. which means our works, the things we have done. Again, go back to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And so, when will the judgment be? Again, there's a short answer and there's a long answer. The short answer is, I don't know. It's not quite so short because neither do you. But there is some information given to us relative to it as well. First, we see in John chapter 12 and verse 48 that judgment will take place on the last day. We needn't wonder how long after the trumpet sounds will the judgment be. Because we're told the last day. We know from Genesis that a day consists of 24 hours. The evening and the morning were the first day. Therefore, I suspect that within 24 hours of the trumpet sounding, you and I, as brethren, as children of God, as Christians, as those having been baptized into Christ, will stand before the judgment bar of Christ and be judged according to the works which we have done. Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. Some people are so confused as to say, well, wait a minute now, when the trumpet sounds, what if it's night? It's going to be day somewhere on this earth when the trumpet sounds. It's going to be night somewhere. People are just ridiculous at times. But we see also that on the resurrection day, for all that have come to Christ were those who were drawn by the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That in and of and by itself would make a good sermon, because we could elaborate much on what it means to be drawn of God. It's not a still small voice. It's not something miraculous or mysterious. It is the plan that God has devised for all men to learn about the love that He has for us and the saving grace that is offered to us through His dear Son. But the last phrase here is the one I want to look at. Only those who have come to Him, the Lord, drawn by the Father through His Word, are the ones that will be raised up on the last day. When will the judgment day be? It'll be after death. The judgment will not take place on this earth. I have people that have told me that we live in heaven or hell here on earth. And I think, well, what have I done? Because earth and its life is not always pleasant. It's not always something that is joyous. And as I understand it, when we get to heaven, there's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be singing. There are going to be no tears. It's not going to take place here on this earth. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 affirms that. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It will happen at the Lord's coming. We've seen this already. Therefore, judge nothing for the time until the Lord come. That's when He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And only God knows the day and the hour. People oftentimes present questions like, does Jesus now know when the judgment will happen? I do not know. But I know that when Jesus was here on the earth, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, He said not even the angels knew, but only His Father in heaven. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The judgment day will not determine guilt or innocence, as some people think. Some people say, well, boy, I hope I'm do okay at the judgment. It's not an exam, folks. You're in the exam right now. We're taking the test daily. And when we get there, it's going to be pass sentence or to give reward. Each will have determined for themselves which they will receive by the way they live during their lives here on earth. Remember, He said, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. And some, He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why it's so important to make the proper choices and to make the preparation today. This includes those who are already members of the body of Christ, as well as those outside of the body. Many are going to be those who are told, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, who were baptized into the body of Christ, and then sat down and waited for the trumpet to sound, or for death to take them. Because they thought, well, that's all I've got to do. That's why I thought I'd preach on the judgment before I preach on the Christian stand tonight. But once one becomes part of the body of Christ, they must remain prepared, looking for that blessed hope, looking for the return of Jesus Christ, living our lives as if Christ is going to return any moment. Can we do that? We can try. But we can only do it if we live in accordance to God's Word. And we can only do it if we begin the journey. To begin the journey, one must become a member of the body of Christ. And this is a very simple method in which this occurs. One must hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16. For that is the very foundation of Christianity, belief in Christ as the Son of God. Repent or turn away from those sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And being baptized into Christ, Matthew 16:16. And then one is to remain faithful until death. If you just wonder about what's going to happen to those who are not faithful, just read the book of Revelation, the letter to the churches, and how that he will take the candlestick away from them. He's very specific when he gets to the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps you say, well, what do I do now? Because you've not really been that faithful. I don't really understand that statement. You're either faithful or you're not. It's not partially faithful. What do you do? Well, you return to God through repentance and prayer, something that he's offered only to his children. We find it found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. As Simon was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I will tell you this. People say, well, I don't know if I want to go to the judgment. You better want to go there, and you better want to be prepared when you get there. Because if you're not, it will be eternally too late. We're going to sing a song now. It's going to be the invitation. The number's already been announced, and you can take your songbook out. But I want to point out that the chorus at the end is different than for the other three verses. It reads, lost, lost, oh what a cry, from souls along the shore, in darkness to go, in sorrow and woe, and be lost forevermore. Do not walk out of this building today having not prepared yourself for that judgment. Let us stand and let us sing. And if you need to respond, come at this time.